Very glad to see everyone here this morning. I'm glad that we can come together to worship God and to enjoy a time of fellowship as God's people. I'm going to look this morning at a book that's sometimes overlooked, I think, the book of Jude. Now, the book of Jude is just a short book at just before Revelation at the end of the Bible, and yet it's got a lot of important things in it. In Jude verse 17, it's a reflex action there. Jude verse 17, Jude says, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. And these are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to you and to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen." Now we look at that passage and we realize Jude was one of the last of the writers of the New Testament. And he refers back to the writing of the other apostles. In particular, if you look at the book of Jude, and you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, very similar passage in writing. And so we look at this, and the idea there in the last few verses of this particular passage has to do with how we take care of and help and strengthen each other along the way of life. So how do we strengthen each other? How do we build each other up? And that's really part of God's purpose in wanting us to come together to worship together as God's people. Now, yes, we can worship God individually, and there are certain things of worship we do individually sometimes. We may pray individually, which most of us do, and we sometimes can, maybe we even sing a song of praise to God, for whatever reason it may be. We can do that individually, and that's good that we do that sometimes, but oftentimes God wants us also to come together as his people. In every way we can, we need to encourage each other to do that very thing. Jesus said to the apostle Peter in John chapter 21, after his death and resurrection, and before his ascension back to heaven, back to the Father, he asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter answered, "Yes, I love you." He answered in a little different way. But each time, Jesus told him, "Feed or take care of my sheep." He says, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed or take care of my sheep." In other words, help others around you, guide them and strengthen them as you're going to need to do that because you are my servant. And it's a way of strengthening them through encouragement and showing courage and faith, and no matter what the opposition may be. Now, Peter, if you look at his life, when Jesus was taken of ultimately to be crucified, he came and he denied Jesus three times. But later he repented and he came back and became one of the great apostles of our Lord and one of the bravest men ever to live through all the things that he suffered, all the persecution and everything else. But notice Jesus on the cross suffered in three different ways. Normally we think of just the physical part of that, and that is certainly nothing to be underscored for what he did. He suffered physically an unspeakable suffering. And now, being nailed to a cross, as bad as that was, you read earlier what happened to him that night. He was spit upon. He was slapped. He was beaten. He had a crown of thorns put upon his head. He was taken out and given a severe beating. A severe beating from which sometimes people died from that kind of beating, even before going to the cross. Then he was forced to carry his cross in that condition with his bloody back from all the cuts that were there. Then he was nailed to a cross, and for several hours he hung there, only the nails supporting his hands and his feet. And as bad as that physical suffering was, he also suffered emotional or mental suffering. Jesus was a human being in his physical form, just like us. And everything that we would suffer, he did too. If he didn't, then he would not have been like us to suffer for us, to take the sin of the world upon himself. So he suffered emotionally and mentally. In fact, he cried out to God, Father, why have you forsaken me? And so we know mentally and emotionally he was suffering as much there as he was physically. But something that we can maybe a little bit understand, but not really, because he was the Son of God, he was suffering spiritually, because God the Father, in essence, turned his back upon Jesus Christ, his Son. The only time of all of eternity that God did that. And he had to allow his Son to die on the cross through all the suffering that was there. And so he did that. He took that for you and me. God allowed it to happen. God could have delivered him any time. Jesus could have delivered himself at any time. He had the power to do so, but he didn't. But what about us? How can we help and strengthen each other along our way of life? How can we do that for others? Well, there are several reasons and several ways. And again, we go back to the ways that Jesus suffered physically, emotionally and mentally, and spiritually. So that's how we're to help each other along our way of life. And that's the idea that Jude is trying to bring out here. You know, he's talking about in Jude there, he says in verse 18, he says how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. They are sensual persons who have caused divisions, not having the Spirit. In other words, there are those who are going to try to bring you away from Christ, away from God, because of physical desires and the problems and troubles of life. And so we have to be willing to strengthen each other along the way. And when we're suffering and we're down and we need help, our other brothers and sisters in Christ can help us. The example, of course, is Jesus on the cross. We mentioned a few of those things, the scourging, the beating that he had taken before even his crucifixion, before he was brought back before Pontius Pilate for the final sentencing to be done. And Pilate himself said, I found no evil in this man. He's not worthy of any of these things, but he says, you see to it. He turned him, turned Jesus over to the mob to be crucified. And of course, there is a scourging, which I mentioned before. There are people who actually died from the scourging even before they were taken to be crucified. That's how bad it was. There were the nails in his hands and feet. If we can even imagine what kind of suffering that would cause when all of your weight is suspended on only those nails that were in your hands and feet. There was the thirst on Jesus just before he died, according to John chapter 19, cried out, I thirst. And they finally gave him a little bit of sour wine to drink. And the extreme pain that he suffered, and there was no relief from that until he died. And so we understood that Jesus endured those things for you and me. He went where we deserve to go. There's a couple of times in the New Testament it says that Jesus was the propitiation for our sin. The word propitiation means that Jesus went to the cross in our place. In other words, we deserve to go there, but He took our place so that He could shed His blood for you and me, that we would not have to share or shed our blood for anyone else. And even that, we couldn't do it anyway. We cannot die for our own sins to take them away. Only Christ could do that. Nor can anybody around us die for our sins. Only Christ could do that. But what should we do for those around us to strengthen them? When we look at our family, our friends, our fellow Christians, we look at them and we find out what kind of needs they may have. And that's the idea, that all the troubles and difficulties of life, sickness, family problems, death in a family, all of those things, we are supposed to help each other along the way. And when it happens to you and me, others in Christ are supposed to help us along the way also. That's why we're there, to help each other, to strengthen each other. And Jesus set the perfect example. If you read through the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, talking about the life of Jesus upon the earth, He set the example in all of those things, in helping people physically and emotionally and spiritually, to help them along the way. He healed the sick. He provided food for the hungry. He did all of those things for people, even raised the dead. And all of those things were done. Yes, they were done to show that He was the Christ, the Son of God. It was done for that reason. But it was also done for the reason that He was compassionate and loving towards the people around Him and wanted to set the perfect example for you and me. So what can we do if we can do nothing else? Sometimes there are situations where the only thing we can do is maybe pray for them. The book of James, James chapter 5, James chapter 5 and verse 13. He says, "Is anyone suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." You know, God wants us to pray for each other along the ways of life. To do that is to encourage others. Now, sometimes, again, we may not be able to help them in any other way, but it's a help and a comfort to know that others are praying for us when there's difficulty in our life. And so God wants us to do that. We can encourage by visiting, by helping others in whatever way they need. Maybe it's food or clothing or whatever it might be that we can help. You know, God wants us to do that. Sometimes you hear that there's three ideas that for the purpose of the church: to serve and to worship God and do those things, to preach the gospel, and to help with the needs of those around. And basically, you can look at the gospel and everything surrounding them. It's kind of summed up in those three things. Take care of the physical and spiritual needs of people and be dedicated to God ourselves. And when we do that, God is going to bless them, is going to bless us also. In the book of 1 John, in 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, John says, "By this we know a love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." other words, John says, if you see a brother or sister in Christ or someone in the world around us that needs help, and we kind of like the idea is you pat him on the back and tell him be warmed and filled and go on his way, but you don't do anything for him, what have we really done? We have to be willing to help in whatever way we can, whether it's food, clothing, shelter, whatever way we can help. Our other spiritual needs or emotional needs, all of us find ourselves in that condition sometimes. We need the help of someone else. And when it comes that we're doing well and others are in need, we need to return that, because that's what Jesus himself was willing to do and willing to set the example. So there's a physical strengthening and helping along the way. There is also the emotional and mental strengthening that we need. Jesus was the ultimate example again. You know, you think over and over again, the greatest example we have of everything that's good and right is Jesus Christ himself. He was the ultimate example. So what happened when people were in need around him, the spiritual and emotional needs, Jesus was willing to help them and strengthen them and teach them, guide them along the way. Now you think about what some did to Jesus. Even his own apostles that he had specially chosen to go with him for 3 years upon this earth, and in his preaching and his teaching, setting the example and miracles and all of those things. Well, Judas, one of the 12, who was through all the things that happened to Jesus and all the things he taught and did for 3 years, betrayed him. He sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And so you can only imagine the pain and suffering emotionally and such that would cause to Jesus, that one of the 12 apostles, his closest friends and helpers along the way, betrayed him. Now, to be sure, Jesus knew that Judas was going to do this eventually. But still, there is the sting of that when it happened. You think of Peter, the apostle that was one of the closest ones to Jesus. When sometimes, occasionally, Jesus would take Peter, James, and John apart from the others. He was sometimes identified as part of the inner circle of apostles. And here, when Jesus was taken and he was brought to be crucified eventually, brought for his trial, Peter was kind of warming himself by the fire. Three times people came and said, well, this is one of them. He was with Jesus. And he denied Jesus three times. And a few hours earlier, Jesus had told him he was going to do this. And he said, no, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll go to prison and to death with you. Jesus said, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times. And he did it. And again, we can only imagine the pain that Jesus suffered because of that. He left him in the time of his greatest need, and he turned his back upon him. Now, later on, we find that Judas, of course, when he realized what he had done, brought the 30 pieces of silver back, and he went out and hanged himself. Peter, on the other hand, he came back, he prayed, and he earnestly sought forgiveness, which was given to him, and he became the great apostle that he became later on. And the other of the 12 apostles, they did with their feet what Peter did with his mouth. When Jesus was taken, they ran away. They didn't stand up for him. They ran away, and they also came back. But we all have emotional and mental and spiritual needs sometimes that need help. And God is there for us. Christ is there for us. But we need to be there for each other, whether it's individually or our families or whatever it might be. We need to be encouraged to be stronger and faithful in the Lord. And just being there sometimes is all that it needs. Now, when I first was going to school to become a preacher, one of the instructors we had, somebody asked him one day, he said, the student said, well, When we go to visit someone in the hospital or having problems, he says, I don't ever know what to say. Well, one of the wisest things ever told to me by the man that was the instructor, he said, 2 weeks, a month, a year, 5 years from now, they may not remember what you said, and they probably won't, but they will remember that you were there for them. And that's something that stuck with me for a long time. And so that's the idea. Sometimes the only thing we can do is to be there for someone through suffering and difficulty. But God cares for us individually. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writing there, Ephesians chapter 3, and we begin at verse 8. He says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, was this grace given. So what was the grace, this blessing that God gave to Paul? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of the ages, ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says that's the greatest thing that God has given me to do. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. He says, cast all of your cares, anxieties upon him. So God will take those away from us if we'll place them there for him. He will help us. Now, maybe not always in the way that we want, and it may not come immediately, but God will take care of us in the long run. And the book of Romans tells us when we're faithful to God, that all things will work together for our good. And he says, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. God cares for you and me personally and individually as much as he does for all the whole world around us. And we need to remember that. And that's a message we need to give to other people when they are suffering. There's also the spiritual strengthening and encouraging that we need to do to help people and our brothers and sisters along the way. But how do we help them spiritually? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. In other words, we take time to pray for others, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our families, others of our acquaintances, people we don't even know, even our enemies. We're to pray for them. And God says we're to do that. Jesus told us we're supposed to do that. Now, maybe it doesn't mean that we have to agree with what they're doing or what they're saying, but he says, pray for them. The purpose is to be able to bring them to Christ, to no longer be our enemies, but to be our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we pray for people whenever we have the opportunity, and pray for ourselves and the church to grow and prosper, to do those things. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus gave the Great Commission. He said to his apostles, go into all the world, preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned. So we are to take that message as the apostles received it, and they did that for us. Then we're to take it to others. In the book of 1 Timothy, Paul told Timothy to seek out others who will hear the message as I have delivered it to you, and you share it with them, and they will share it with others. That's how the gospel is to be spread. It's always been God's plan. And so we're to do that. We're also to do our best to set an example for others of faith and dedication to the Lord. Now, sometimes we're not going to do that. Sometimes we're going to fall short of what we ought to be. But by the grace of God, if we're trying to be faithful, He's going to forgive the sins that we have committed. For we're to do this every day of our life. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." That's how we are to live. That's how God wants us to live every day. But by faith and obedience, using Jesus as the greatest example. Turn back for a moment to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 5, the writer is talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, His sacrifice for us. Hebrews 5 and verse 7, it says, "Who," that's Christ, "in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, was heard because of His godly fear." Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed, "Father, if it's at all possible, take this cup, this suffering away from me." But it was not possible. That was God's requirement. But Jesus prayed, and it says He prayed with vehement cries and tears. The Garden of Gethsemane, His tears are like great drops of blood and His sweat coming down on the ground. It says it was because of godly fear. Verse 8, "Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered." Jesus had to go through the process of living, all of that suffering and death, in order to understand what it is like fully to be a human being like us. And yet He did it. "Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered." Verse 9, "Having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him." So He became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey Him. He gave His life for you and me. He shed His blood as the purchase price for our sin, for our rejection of Him in life. But by His grace and love and mercy, we can go to Him because He cares for you and me. He loves us and wants us to do His will. Turn one more passage in the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5. Again, the Apostle Paul writing, Galatians 5 and verse 1. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." As you hang on, be faithful all the way to the end. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We're to help each other along that way every day that we live. Verse 3 says, "If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught of the word share in all good things with him who teaches." We're to share what we have, the blessings of God, with others. And in doing so, when the time comes and Christ comes again, we're going to be able to go home with Him for all of eternity. But we have to make the decision. This morning, if you need to come, won't you do so as together we stand and as we sing.